So we're a few days after Christmas now, heading into the New Year celebration. And so I want to talk a little bit about what happens after Christmas, after the manger, after the caroling, after the kozonak, after the rachitur. I tried rachitur. I didn't like it. But what happens after? Where do we go after Christmas? Because for a lot of people, there's so much buildup. There's so much anticipation. There's so much running around, you know, to do Christmas, to get ready for Christmas. And after it's over, for a lot of people, they just feel like there's a letdown, that, you know, we're just going back to the mundane. And I don't think that's what God wants for us. I don't think that's what God has for us, brothers and sisters. The Christmas story is the beginning of the mighty work of God. There is so much more for us. There is so much more for Emmanuel Church. There is so much more for your families and for all of us that God wants to do. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And it begins with being filled with the Holy Spirit. The passage that I want to read for us this morning is found in Luke chapter 2. It's verses 25 through 35, if you have your Bibles and if you want to open them up. I'll be reading verses 25 through 35 from Luke chapter 2, where it says that there was a man, we know this story, it's the story of Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Again, verse 27, guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." My message for this morning is entitled, Growing in Jesus Beyond the Manger. Growing in Jesus Beyond the Manger. And I think the first thing that we are called to do as we move on from Christmas and as we continue to seek and desire to grow in Jesus, like I said, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read through the book of Luke, through the Gospel of Luke, you see the Holy Spirit emphasized more so than in the other Gospels. In comparison to Mark 6 times or Matthew 12 times, Luke refers to the Spirit at least 17 times in his Gospel. And in the book of Acts, which is also written by Luke, the Spirit is mentioned around 70 times, and the Holy Spirit more than 40 times. And we see the Holy Spirit at work in many passages in this gospel. At Jesus' conception in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. At his birth, at John the Baptist's birth in Luke 1, 15 and 17. We see the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism, Jesus' temptation. At Jesus' earliest ministry, we see the Holy Spirit referred to by Jesus in his first sermon in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where he quotes from Isaiah 61, verse 1, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then we see the Holy Spirit being prophesied by John the Baptist as coming upon the disciples of Jesus in Luke chapter 3, and then Jesus promising the Holy Spirit to them in Luke chapter 24, and then in Acts 1, verses 4, 5, and 8. This baptism of the Spirit, which was fulfilled at Pentecost and which is available to every Christian believer. And we see this exemplified in the life of Simeon, because again, in verses 25 through 27, we see that, you know, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. There was revelation by the Holy Spirit. And that in verse 27, he was guided by the Holy Spirit. So what does that say to us? What is the Lord trying to speak to us this morning? Like I said, the first key in moving forward from the manger and from the Christmas story is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us and with us and in us is to empower us. It says that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. When the Holy Spirit comes upon someone, he empowers them. And when it speaks about Simeon, it says that he was righteous. He was a righteous man. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do to empower us is to be righteous towards one another. To echo part of what Brother Imre was saying this morning, the Holy Spirit can heal relationships, brothers and sisters. He can heal broken relationships this morning. And there's a beautiful passage in Deuteronomy chapter 24 in verses 10 through 13 where the Lord speaks about how believers, how brothers and sisters, how the people of God are to treat one another. And it says, when you make a loan of any kind to your neighbor, do not enter his house to collect what he offers as security. Stand outside while the man you are making the loan to brings the security out to you. Verse 12, if he is a poor man, do not sleep with the garment he has given as security. And then verse 13, be sure to return it to him at sunset. Then he will sleep in it and bless you. And here's the key. So the Lord is telling us how we are to relate to one another, how we are to treat one another. And then it says, this is how the Lord views the way we treat one another. He says, and this will be counted as righteousness to you before the Lord your God. Because the way that we treat one another, brothers and sisters, matters to the Lord. It matters to God how brothers and sisters, how Christians treat each other. The people that you sit next to week after week after week, the people that you see and that you bump to when you pull up at church and you park your car and you walk into this building. And he wants to empower us. He wants to empower us to heal broken relationships. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not too late. That brother, that sister is not too far gone. You are not too far gone. The hand of the Lord is not too short this morning. The Holy Spirit can do what he always does when we allow him to work, when we allow him to move. He heals. He heals brokenness. He heals broken relationships. And that's one of the things that he wants to empower us to do, to be righteous, to act rightly towards one another. Another thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do is to empower our devotion to God. It says that Simeon was a devoted man. So this end of the year, as we head into a brand new year, 2026, do you have it in your heart to draw closer to God? Do you want to know and experience the Lord in a new way, in a fresh way? Do you want to be more faithful, more committed in reading the Word of God, in prayer? Do you want to love his church more? Do you want to be effective in the ministry that God called you? Ask the Holy Spirit this morning to empower you in your devotion to the Lord, in your promises, in your commitments, that desire that you felt deep in your heart, deep within you, that voice that's been speaking to you and calling you, but you feel like you don't have the strength to do it. The Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is ready to give you the strength, the empowerment that you need in your devotion to the Lord. The third area that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us this morning is in our anticipation of good. It says that Simeon was looking forward to something. He was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And brothers, because the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, Simeon was a man who was looking forward. He wasn't looking around to the Romans who ran the place. He wasn't looking around to the Roman Empire that had broken Israel. He wasn't looking around at the Caesars and at the legions and at the soldiers and everything that was so much of the reality of Simeon's time. Instead, the Bible says that Simeon was a man who was looking forward to something. He was looking with anticipation. He was looking for a good God to do good things for his people. So this morning, if you have been feeling hopeless in any way about a situation in your life, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see God's goodness once again this morning. Because God is good. God is good. Sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes our eyes are just closed to his goodness. So this morning, the Lord, as Emmeline sang, the Lord wants us to experience that joy of anticipation again, anticipating that the Lord loves us and cares for us and wants to do good for us. So let the Holy Spirit empower you and us to do that. A few more things. In verse 26, it says that it had been revealed to Simeon. So the Holy Spirit also wants to give us revelation. And brothers and sisters, God didn't create you to be confused. If you are feeling like things don't make sense this morning, that's okay. That's okay. Just come to Jesus. That's the invitation. Come to Jesus. Let him fill you with the Holy Spirit this morning. Let him give you revelation. This book is revelation, is the revelation of the Lord. It's the revelation of the God who created you, who knit you in your mother's womb, the God who knows you inside and out. God can speak to you. He wants to reveal himself to you through this book. He can reveal himself prophetically. He can reveal himself in dreams and visions to you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, it tells us, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. And then in verse 27, it tells us a little bit about the heart of Jesus. And it says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery. God, the point is, brothers and sisters, our God speaks. Our God is a God who reveals, and he wants to reveal himself to you. So if you are confused, if you don't know which way to go, ask the Holy Spirit, and he will reveal himself to you. And to go along with that, in verse 27, what he wants to do is he wants to guide us, because it says that Simeon was a man who was guided by the Holy Spirit. So if you need direction in life, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Tell him, Lord, here I am. Lead me. Guide me on the path that you have laid out for me. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to be ready for God to subvert our expectations. We need to be ready for God to subvert our expectations. There are those passages in the Gospels where Jesus enters the temple to cleanse the temple. He grabs a whip, he overturns the moneylenders' tables, and he sets order in the temple. And then there's a passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, where the disciples are asking Jesus, you know, they're saying, Lord, it says when they have come together, they ask them, Lord, are you now restoring the kingdom of Israel again? Because that was their expectation. As Jews, as Israelites, that was their belief that the Messiah would come to defeat the Romans, that the Messiah would come as Jesus came into the temple to throw the tables over. Maybe he would have a sword and he would be a military leader who would defeat the armies of the Roman Empire. That was their expectations. And I believe that Simeon, as a man of his time, those were his expectations too. And now it says that he was guided by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit as he enters the temple, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to him and he's telling him, the Messiah is here, the one that you've been waiting for, the one that you've been anticipating is here. Enter the temple, meet your Messiah. And I believe that the Simeon's expectations were to see this soldier, this powerful, strong man, who would undo the Roman Empire, who would undo their oppression. And the Holy Spirit leads him to a baby of all things. And I don't know what Simeon thought in those first moments. I don't know what went through his mind when the Holy Spirit led him to what probably he wasn't expecting. And I think in a lot of cases, we have our ideas and our thoughts of the ways that we want God to work in our lives, the way that we want God to bring deliverance and salvation in our lives. And so many times God subverts those expectations. Like I said, you know, is your prayer for a relationship to be restored this year? Is your expectation that the Lord would work on some relationship where you've had tension, and maybe you think, okay, I'm gonna go to the person and I'm gonna ask for forgiveness, and there's gonna be this beautiful moment where we hug and we both apologize and you do it, you go and maybe you apologize and the person doesn't react the way that you expected them to react. Or maybe you want to be empowered, like I said, in your devotion. Maybe you're expecting, you know, you're committing and you're gonna sit down with the Word of God and you're open it, and God's gonna give you revelation after revelation, day after day. When you open the Word of God, you're gonna feel like God is speaking to you directly. And maybe you do that, and by the second, third, or you know, fourth day, maybe it's feeling a little bit monotonous, and it's not what you expected. What are you gonna do? How are you gonna react? Are you gonna continue trusting the Lord? Because this is what we see in Simeon. This is how we see Simeon reacting when his expectations were subverted. Even though he was expecting probably a military leader, when he saw the baby, when he was led by the Holy Spirit and he saw baby Jesus, he grabbed onto Jesus, even though the situation didn't look like he thought it was going to look. It says that he praised God, even if he didn't understand all of the details of how God was going to work. He acted on the limited revelation that the Lord gave him. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do. If God has given you revelation, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, God wants us to take that step of faith, even when to our eyes, things don't look like we were expecting them to look. The third thing is we need to be okay with waiting. And I'm gonna go through this quickly. In verses 29 through 32, we see Simeon giving this beautiful song, this beautiful poem, this beautiful declaration of praise to the Lord. But one thing that he says is Lord, I'm ready to be dismissed, which is basically he was saying, I'm ready to die. Because by this point, he was probably an old man. He had been waiting for the Lord for a very long time. We're not sure when he received this promise that he would not die before he saw the Messiah, but it was probably months, maybe years, maybe even decades that he had waited for the Lord's word to be fulfilled. And we have so many other examples in scriptures of faithful men and women of God who had to wait. We see Abraham, he received the promise, then he wandered for decades. We see Joseph, he received the prophetic dreams that he would lead his people, then he went from one calamity to another. We have Moses who wanted to deliver Israel, then he had to spend 40 years as a shepherd in the wilderness. We see David anointed as king, and then he has to spend years running away from Saul, from cave to cave, from wilderness to wilderness. So what is the point of all this? What is the point? Is it that God is always late? Is that God always takes his time? No. The point is that God always keeps his promises, brothers and sisters. The point is that even if you have to wait, God will still come through. Even if your body is broken like Abraham and you are unable to have children like Sarah, even then God will and can come through. Praise God for that. Amen. And then the last thing in verses 33 through 35 is that we need to be prepared to endure suffering. Simeon is speaking to Mary and he's saying that there's a sword that will pierce your heart. He's saying that the Messiah will be opposed. He's saying all of these things that maybe sound a little bit scary to her. And you know, I'm thinking of what was going on through Mary's mind as Simeon is speaking to her. Just a few verses before, in Luke chapter 1, Mary is told that she is highly favored. Mary is told that God is with her. This is what Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says. The angel of the Lord is speaking to her, and he says, the angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." So after receiving this message, Mary probably thought, like in her understanding, things will probably go well for me. Things are going to work out. Maybe things will be easy even. And yet here we see that God calls her to a time of pain, a time of suffering, a time of difficulty. And he does the same to us. He calls us Christian believers. Even if we are favored by the Lord, even if the Lord is with us, he is calling us to be prepared to endure suffering in this world. And yes, the suffering is real. But even more real is God's presence with us. There will be times when we will experience pain. There will be times when we will experience loss. There will be times when we will question what is going on. But even more so in those moments, God tells us, like he told Mary, that you are favored and that he is with you. Even in the fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even in calamity. Even when the world seems to be opposed to you, God is telling you, when you are trusting in him, he will be with you. And the ultimate fire will not harm us. So as I close this morning, I want to say that Christmas doesn't have to end on December 26th or December 27th or December 28th, I think we're on right now. Christmas, or the presence of Christ with us, can continue. And we can continue rejoicing and growing in Christ even after the manger by being filled with the Holy Spirit, by being ready for God to subvert our expectations, by being okay with waiting because God always keeps his promises, and by being prepared to endure and even suffer because God's sure promise is that he will always be with us no matter what. So may God bless you. And again, Merry Christmas to you all.